Welcome to another edition of the Damaged Goods Radio Podcast. I am your host, Matt Dunn, and today on the show we have an interview with the great Durham duo, a band called Bangs. I sat down with them recently to talk about their recently released cassette tape. It's called Fresh Cut, and after the interview we're going to hear a track from it called Pretty is a Trap. Without further ado, here is my interview with the band Bangs. Hello, this is Matt with Damaged Goods Radio, and I am here with a band called Bangs. They're from Durham, North Carolina, and I was wondering if you could introduce yourselves.
I'm Erica, and I'm in Bangs.
And what do you play?
I play guitar and I sing.
I'm Blair. I play drums, and I count some numbers every so often, and I'm in Bangs, too.
You count numbers, so you're kind of like the accountant of the band?
No, actually, that's Erica.
No.
My vocals are often numbers because I'm not very good at them yet, but I'm very good at the numbers. Yeah, I'm just not good at the vocals. Here we are.
So how long has Bangs been a band for?
I feel like I've been saying it's been a year for like years now, so I feel like it's got to be at least 2 years now. The summer, because our first show was like in June.
Our first show was right before what's it called? The moon blocks the sun for a second.
The eclipse.
Right before, yeah.
It was
our first. And so it was around the eclipse. When did the eclipse happen?
So that's probably like 2 years ago when they had like the total eclipse and like everyone went to like Asheville or Greenville and then they had a horrible time getting back. Did anyone do that? No. Did you do that? Okay. Yeah, well,
you had a total eclipse of the heart and you had to start a band.
I love
literally,
that.
Literally, though.
I mean, yeah, that's a whole other story. But, yeah. It was around then, so it's been 2 years. Yes.
That's how we remember.
Whose idea was it to call the band Bangs?
Okay, so, like, I had a list of names, right? Yeah, and some very colorful ones.
What were the other ones?
They were really bad.
Okay.
I think I wanted to make a band with the word clit in it, but I couldn't. The puns weren't as good. I wanted just something to sound like feminine.
Clint Eastwood.
Can we break up and read a
brief? We can always write a song called that. I don't know. I just wanted something to sound like very fierce feminine or something like reclaimed. And I thought Bangs was really funny because it's just like when people get bangs and how people talk about bangs and stuff like that. And how it's like very seen as feminine. But there's also that like where it sounds like banging on things and like it's always been a very loud and fast band. But it was also, like, I mean, I showed you all the names, and, like, we just were drawn to it, right?
I love one-word band names.
Yeah.
I remember going through the list and being like, yo, this one, and especially the way you spelled it. I didn't know at the time about the Seattle band?
Yeah, evidently there is another band from Seattle that was, like, during the Riot Girl era with an S, but, yeah. I mean, we're different, obviously. We have two Z's, so.
Have you thought about doing, like, a battle of the bands with the other bangs?
I think they're defunct now because they were like a 90s band and like I think they might have put out like one or two things and like been over.
I would take that. I mean, I would challenge.
Blair's like ready for the challenge.
So if they reformed and asked you to do it, you would consider?
1000%.
I'm against girl hate. I feel like there can be all of us in the world and so we shouldn't have to fight. Everyone else should just sit the fuck down and let us play together. Nah.
I conceptually agree with Erica. However, I thrive off of like challenge competition and I used to do this thing. I do it less often now, where I would choose an enemy at every show, even like somebody I don't necessarily like actually hate. I feel that like, you know, if you have an adversary, like you, hell yeah, you're gonna fucking do that shit. So yeah, enemies are not bad or necessarily negative. I don't know. You can fight as friends.
Do you have any you're willing to name right now?
They know who they are.
Bangs just put out a new cassette tape. What's the name of the cassette?
Fresh Cut.
How long did it take you to work on that one?
That just came out real quick. So basically when we started the band, like I had demoed out a couple songs and I'd show them to Blair and they all kind of flowed together. And then it was just like, do you like these songs? We're like, yeah. So we started playing them out and stuff like that. So Fresh Cut was like, we pretty much had the album art like from the beginning of our band. That was, like, on our Facebook from the beginning.
Every song but Big Old Dicks was written...
Oh, God. I got scared.
Oh, yeah. We're not on the radio anymore. We can say dicks and cunt and...
Yeah.
Shithole.
Yeah. But, yeah. Mm-hmm. Everything is a big old dicks was on, like, yeah, it was demoed out, and it was gonna be, because we thought, Bang's Fresh Cut, how funny is that? Also, it's like, Fresh Cut is because it's like, it's a fresh cut, like, the wounds are fresh, you know what I mean? And all these songs come from, like, a really real and very painful place, and it's just about being, like, you know, like, you're kind of, like, bleeding out, you know, a little bit, yeah, and it's, like, real.
What's the story behind Big Old Dicks?
It's about mansplaining. It's about how just, like, you know, being a woman in any kind of male-dominated field, people always just assume you're dumb or just, like, talk over you, or, like, they love, like, teaching you things because they want you to fall into this, like, very sexist, like, role-play of, like, oh, being the person that needs to learn from this, like, older superior thing. And, like, even if that's not true and you know more of them, like, you're expected societal-wise, like, to, like, fall into that role because it's more comfortable for the people in power, which are, like, men. So, like, it's about that. And it's, like, how, you know, the lyrics are, everybody's telling me what to do. Everybody thinks they know better than me, you know, big old dicks in a big old house. Like, and it comes definitely from music, you know, being a woman in music, people are always trying to tell you that they know more about your amp or your guitar, or tell you what to do. Like, people come up during soundcheck all the time and try to tell us things about, like, oh, what we're doing, or try to, and, like, they literally don't know anything about music, but they like that role play of being the one that tells you things because they, like, they see you as this, you know, a girl in the patriarchy, which is, like, a shitty definition. Like, I hate what that means in this world. Because, like, I don't identify with it, you know what I mean? It's just, like, so fucking dumb. It's, like, so limiting. I don't think, like, it's just, it's too limiting for women. And it just, like, puts you in this place where you gotta play dumb to win. And, like, that's insulting as well. Like, I've been out in the corporate world where I was like, oh, well, you know, you should use that to your advantage. And it's like, no, like, fuck you. Why do I have to play dumb to make you feel better to get my ends met? Like, I don't want to play that game anymore. And I think a lot of people are really fed up with that. And it's just not fair. That's how I feel.
Yeah, it makes me feel like... I mean, not only do, like, when we're playing with bands, I have a male drummer, sometimes I'll see some kickback from when I offer to share my drum set, because I've learned, actually, that I most often have a drum set that's better for me and isn't, like, of poor quality and very shareable. I'm happy to share my gear, but guys will often assume that I probably don't have anything very good or will work for them, and will, like, almost aggressively say, like, no, we'll share mine, and eventually I just say I'll use my own. Or, like, the amount of guys that, like, cis guys that I come off the stage and say something like, wow, you're actually very good at drums. And I'll have to be like, oh, like, I guess I'll pretend that was a compliment and say thank you, but that, like, was really underhanded, didn't really make me feel that great. And it's, like, I know I keep saying cis guys or guys, like, it's not, like, when we say dicks, we don't, like, you don't have to have a dick to wield masculinity and the patriarchy negatively. Like, it's like, I don't, like, we're not trying to be like preach this transphobic message when we say big old dicks. We're saying, like, dicks, like, you're being a dick, not like penises. I remember when we got censored on the radio about saying the word dicks, we didn't want to, like, fall back and, like, use the code word penises. We don't mean that.
Penises isn't right. Yeah,
no, like, you can be an awful like authoritative, like, know-it-all asshole, being aggressively masculine,
using the climate of patriarchy to keep other people down, like, using it at your back.
Exactly that. And that's what we're fucking tired of, and that's, like, I'm so, I don't know, Erica and I met through volunteering for Girls Rock fundraisers, and if there's one thing I'm super tired of is, like, even though I was fortunate enough to have, like, a background of music education, it's people coming at you and pretending, like, you have to have all this insider knowledge or experience or education in order to take up space or be entitled to space in the music community, when I don't think that's true. Girls Rock and many other organizations definitely emblemize that. Like, you don't have to have all this to, like, kill it and do a really good job. And acting like that keeps so many people that would benefit, like, me and other people in the music scene out of it, and, like, we don't stand by that. I don't think anybody should stand by that.
Yeah.
Do you feel like there are bands and venues in the area that are more supportive than that?
Oh, I mean, I think the venues have come around, but that's because, like, people have been putting in the work, you know what I mean? And I think, not the venues even, I think the bands have been putting in the work, you know, networking and building their own clout, so that, I mean, yeah, the bands are, like, privy to, like, there's a lot of, like, good femme and non-binary bands coming out. That's only because they've been fucking working hard and building the scene, you know what I mean? Like, it's not, you know, but there are a few venues that have been, like, consciously trying to pull people up, and I think that's important, but, like, I think some people are kind of bandwagoning it, but, you know, I think it's all about the artists who are putting in the work into this specific area, and it's always more work than you're ever going to get paid for, so. Because it's beyond just being in a band, it's like organizing, you know, and how many people are actually willing to do that extra step, you know?
I'd say it's like, yeah, people who work for venues, like, I know when Mark used to own The Cave, not to say that The Cave is still isn't doing work, I'm not as close to it anymore, but I know The Cave is today and always has been in my time being here in the last 3 or 4 years, a venue that's free to play. They don't charge the bands anything off their cut from the door, which I think is extremely important when you're first starting out. It's harder to play. As much as I love places like the Pinhook and the Wicked Witch, it's a little difficult to play places like that when they take your first $250, you know, off of door fees and hand it to the sound person, which is great. I mean, we need good sound people. I love that they support queer and gender nonconforming people, like, to work at their locations, do sound for them, and, like, even teach them sound. But, you know, it's places like The Cave and, like, I guess Slims and the Bookers for Slims particularly that really, I think, help raise people up.
Well, people are listening from outside North Carolina. What bands or artists do you think they should check out?
You should go listen to the new Muslims album, the new Sister Brother album. I feel like everyone in the scene right now is putting out albums, which makes me feel really great. Because I love being, like, amongst my peers and be like, everyone's producing, you know, like, making stuff. I'm like, mm-hmm. Yeah. But, like, both those bands just put out, like, albums, and they're just, like, crushing it, I would say.
I love Fruit Snack a lot. And then I also, I've only seen them, like, twice. I don't know how much music they've put out, but I'm, like, a fangirl for Pool Boy. They're a great band. They have a lot of good energy, and I, like, always recommend checking them out if you see them playing. And, oh, and then also Sidewalk Furniture, another really good. They just became a four-piece with a really badass drummer, and would say they weren't already badass, but they're, like, definitely getting bigger and bigger every day.
I don't know Pool Boy. Are they, they're from Durham?
One of the members is in Gown, that's doing bass and lead vocals. I don't know.
The other member is from Mature Fantasy.
There we go.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Two other North Carolina bands worth checking out. Gown's really cool. I don't know if you've heard of Gown, but they have, like, three cellos, and, like, they're just, like, huge. They have a big sound. My dog is giving us eyes from outside. She's all meaningful.
Staring at it. She's like, oh, my God. She's like the little match girl. Like, sad.
So are you currently in another bands besides Bangs?
I'm in a band called Henbrain as well, which is my friend Michelle Sontheimer's project. She's like very much like prog. So it's like Yes and Rush meets Iron Maiden. And I sing for that one, which is a great workout because it's all over the map. And it's really fun for me. It's been great. I think for me it's really healthy as a creative person to be in multiple projects, especially in music, because like it feels completely different. But it's kind of the same at the same time. Like, just being able to just sing and then just, like, throw my body against the stage, like, is very cathartic. But then, of course, like, being in Bangs and, like, singing, like, my own lyrics and, like, you know, playing a guitar, in some ways feels like I'm trapped because I'm trapped in front of a microphone and I'm strapped to a guitar. But other ways, it's very freeing because those are my words. And, like, you know, yeah, I love them both. But Henbrain's awesome. You should check them out. They're hard and heavy. Yeah.
I am in a six-piece, like, country outfit called Severed Fingers, which I really love. Members of that band are in some of the bands I recommended checking out. I'm not biased. I honestly love those bands before I was in Severed Fingers. Which is fun. Train beats on drums. Very different genre than Bangs. It's fun to not sweat after you play or while you play. And then I have been, and Erica recently joined in the last year, another band called Slime, which is like a down-tempo, like, stoner metal, sludge-esque project. We're about to have, I think, our last show. It's going to be at Pinhook in June 14th. Which will be really great. I'm going to miss that project a lot. It just, no one had a lot of time for it, and it kind of slowly fizzled out, but it's fun to play that shit too.
Any Slime recordings out there?
Oh yeah, we have a band camp. There's three or four old recordings.
Four.
From when we had a different guitarist just before Erica joined. Our old guitarist was a person named Gray. They work at the Wicked Witch and Ruby Deluxe and Raleigh, who I already mentioned.
And Bangs played a great set last year at the Hopscotch Music Festival in downtown Raleigh. at Slim's, I believe, mm-hmm. with Death Wish and
Warm Bodies.
Warm Bodies, that's ridiculous. Right. And Das Drip.
By the way, don't play Warm Bodies when your bandmate's trying to sleep in the van. Not relaxing.
Definitely not.
It was so not relaxing.
That was an amazing show. What was that show like, playing in Hopscotch?
I mean, it was great. You know, Hopscotch, you know, we were pretty young, and to be asked to play Hopscotch was kind of a big deal. We got a, you know, we got a hotel room. You know, I got a hotel room because I had to, like, fly out, like, that night. But wanted to play the show and have fun, so we, like, partied hard after our set and went to sleep afterwards. So we just, like, really, you know, had that whole excitement of being able to play Hopscotch and then being able to go see, like, a band that we wanted to see and party with our friends in the hotel like rock stars. I mean, it was just super fun. It was just, I would do it again.
Oh my God.
For sure.
I made a lot of mistakes that night after all the alcohol happened. I, like, gave away a bunch of Adderall I had to people I, like, met that night. And was like, I'll see you tomorrow. Here's a token. Like, give it back to me tomorrow if you don't want it. We'll totally see each other. I never saw them again. It was great. Slims is, like, politics aside, Slims is definitely one of my favorite venues to play. I like the space a lot. Even though it's really slim.
Literally.
Literally, I've never made that joke in my mind.
I haven't either, actually.
Like, so that's an original, right there. I just like, it's intimate, it's close, and we already push ourselves pretty front stage. Like, we play side by side, and at Slims, that meant that my back could be touched by somebody if they wanted to, and I was lucky enough that when I, like, got really sweaty and took off half my clothes, there was just somebody back there with a fan. It was just, like, literally fanning my sweaty body, telling me that I was very sweaty. I just love that space. I love the bartenders. I love the people that work there. It's just fucking tight to be in, and it's just always fun. You always get into some shit.
Our friend ate a burrito on stage for that show, and that was good.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we've had maybe three or four times where someone's eating a burrito on stage during our Pretty as a Trap song.
It's a band expense that we both accept, actually.
Maybe you could have a burrito eating contest next year.
I would love that, actually. But I don't want anyone to throw up on stage. That would bum me out.
No, I wouldn't bum me out. I'd vomit all you want on stage.
I would throw up, too. A little bit.
It's rock and roll, right?
It's rock and roll. I've seen that happen. I mean, as long as... Well, okay. I mean, you know that band Pink Fumes?
Yeah, yeah. Have great band.
Them?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if they do this all the time, but I saw a set with them. They played Elvis Fest one year, and their drummer was just throwing up their entire set. Like, voluminous. Like, it was the most badass shit I've ever seen in my life. I was like, wow. Goals. But not for me.
Was Josh releasing some Taco Bell fumes into the air?
I don't know. I hope it wasn't Taco Bell. It was, I will report, it was both chunky and liquid at the same time, and there was a lot of it. So it's like, it's not one of those like, oh, it's mostly water. It was like, no, there's food in there.
You know, I have a stomach disorder. I vibe that shit, you know. That's all you want.
Mm. Yeah.
So the song Pretty is a Trap. Mm. And is there a story behind that one?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, that one was written all at once. And I mean, like, okay. So like, here's something. So I was on the road, right, as a tour manager for my friend's band. What would happen is, like, I realized there was this formula for whenever I had to deal with venue owners, and this also happened to me when I was a beer rep, and like various situations of life, where you realize that when you're trying to get shit done, people that you need to get shit done with, they will either, like, okay, if they think you're hot, they won't leave you alone and you can get your shit done, but at the same time, you gotta be like ready with elbows out to fucking dodge any fucking hands that are coming through, right? Because it's gonna happen. It's either that or black or white. The other way is they don't think you're hot, so they literally can't see you. You are fucking invisible. And you're just like, hey, I gotta get the payout. Hey, oh, wait, hey, where do we put our stuff? They can't see you. You know what I mean? So it was this weird dichotomy where, like, I could see that between me, and for me, with my body, when I would dress more femme, I would get this kind of, like, unwanted sexual attention. And when I dressed as non-femme, I would become invisible. And, like, I realized that I actually kind of preferred the invisible because I didn't want to play in that world anymore, and I didn't want anyone to see me as playing in that world anymore because I was just fucking tired of it, you know what I mean? And it was just, like, Pretty as a Trap because it's, like, some people were like, oh, well, you know, oh, well, you're pretty, so, like, you know, that's, like, a nice, like, compliment that they're treating you like that. It's not, because it's dehumanizing. Like, you can't literally get your job done. like, when I was a beer rep, it was, like, the same thing. It was just, like, oh, well, you know, like, at one point we decided that it was, like, better to get, like, good-looking female reps in because they were tired of getting their beer sales done by, like, dudes. So, like, they, like, I had, like, this old, like, beer dude, like, in my company say, like, that's why they hired women. So it's, like, because it's better to look at things that are hot when you're trying to buy beer. And, like, that was, like, literally the culture I was in. And, like, people keep telling you, like, it's, like, a fucking compliment, but it's so dehumanizing. Like, and that's what I think is a problem with, like, the world. Like, especially when you're talking about women and, like, you know, like, people with bodies like mine. Like, it's, like, you get thrown in this category and it's, like, oh, well, you should be grateful that I'm sexualizing you all the time. No, like, please don't. I'd rather be, like, human is how I feel. So that's what Pretty is a Trap is about. And it's, like, yeah, you know.
It's sort of like what we were talking about the other day when, like, we were both kind of, I guess, like, shooting the shit about shit. We always try to, like, talk about our shows after we have them and... Erica mentioned, like, it's kind of a downer, like, when, you know, I get really hot at almost every show, and I wear pants a lot in the winter, whatever, it doesn't matter where we're playing, I normally just get hot, or, like, sweat bothers me, I wear tighter pants, so I will plan to take off my pants, like, probably mid-show if I need to, so I'll wear, like, shorts or whatever underneath, and, like, Erica pointed out, and, like, I thought about it here and there, but she was able to, like, really put it in some words for me, like, she often does, it's, like, kind of a bummer when I, like, get a little hot, have to take off my pants, and Erica's bantering, and in the middle of Erica bantering, people start to, like, cheer and whoop just because, like, I'm sweaty and taking my pants. I'm not, like, doing it, like, as Erica, like, said, like, I'm not doing it for your enjoyment. I'm not doing it for anything to do with you or even for anything to do with my own looks. It's because I'm comfortable and what I, like, need for utilitarian purposes, but somehow you interpret this, like, this more skin being seen as a show so much that you, like, cheer. Yeah. And, like, that's weird, right? That's what we're prioritizing over, like, anything else that was going on at that moment, especially often because Erica's saying something,
like, important. Well, I specifically reacted to someone saying, like, take it off.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sometimes, which is, like, it's so weird. It's like, well, is that positive or is that, like... Where does that come from? Where did that come from? Like, let's unpack this. Like, where did that come from, you know? Where did it come from? It's probably not positive.
And why the hell did you feel the need to say, was it alcohol that made you feel, like, cheeky enough to yell that at me? Or, like, what's going on there? I don't know. But I, like, wasn't necessarily, like, I always, like, want to turn around and be like, shut up. And, like, because often, like I said, Erica's bantering or something. It's like, this is not, like, why the fuck do you care? Like, it would be one thing if I was, like, swinging
my shirt
over my head or something. But it's like, I'm quickly taking something off and, like, I don't know.
I guess for me, it feels like people are, like, for me, it reminds me of, like, people being entitled to my body, like, a little bit. Because it's just like, oh, well, like, you're not taking off your shirt because you're, you know, you're hot. It's because you're doing this to show off or something. And it's just like... people being able to comment on your body. I don't know. It reminds me of, like, being, like, a kid, you know, not wanting to, like, show too much of my body. Because, you know, like, when you get, like, basically, like, sexually, like, you know... this is interesting. I'm sorry, like, as a dude, like, to say, like, I'm not sorry, but, like, for example, like, yo, no, like, seriously, like, I grew boobs when I was really young, and then, like, I was in that category where people would, like, be, like, I wasn't allowed to wear tank tops because people would say I was slutty. Like, well, people wouldn't say that, but it was, like, it was inferred that, like, it was my fault that my body looked this way. And it's, like, it's kind of fucked up. Like, I didn't tell you to do this to me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is just fucking skin. Like, I'm always like, I want to be a plant. Like, I've had that. I've yelled that on stage before. But it's not fair that I can't be a human. Like, I am, like, defined as woman. And, like, that definition is limiting. And it's, like, suffocating, I think. And that's, I don't like it.
Well, maybe you should wear a plant costume on stage, then.
Like, I'm a plant!
Like Audrey from Little Shop of Horrors.
That'll be like our sixth album. It'll just be called Plants. It'll be like when I finally have my breakdown.
I relive the time you played a tree in the elementary school play. Like, I am a tree.
You literally did that?
Oh, wow. Who didn't?
I didn't. I was the star. No, just, I don't know.
Because you could say our band's really going to grow on you. You know, just like a plant.
Oh my gosh, what? Are you like this?
So the next time we play at Slim's and make the Slim joke, we can be wearing trees.
Right, yeah, exactly. So.
This is a Slim venue. Well, I hope we'll grow on you.
I think a really weird era of this band. No. Go ahead. Please change the subject.
What are you doing, by the way? Like, you have nothing written down. Can I just point that out? You keep just, like, pulling.
Yeah, it's all. It's all in my head.
A+.
Another serious subject I wanted to ask you about is you do a cover of Drowning Pool.
So serious.
That's actually the song we worked on.
It's a very divisive subject. So.
Divisive. It is divisive.
Well, I was obsessed with that song, Winter of 2017, 2018. Like, it, before we ever decided to cover it, didn't we just think, we just brought it up a lot, I feel like, didn't we?
I mean, I have a good memory. I can tell you exactly why I came. I mean, I don't know. No, we were at the Zen to Fly residency at the cave.
Shit, yeah.
And Zen played it in her set, and it was dope. And I was like, and we all rocked out, and we're like, oh, this is a great song. And I was like, the song has great parts to it. And then, yeah. And then I was like, is this coverable? And I was like, this is, like, really coverable. And then Zach was like, Blair could sing the counting part. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
And then I sang so much more.
And then Blair could actually then hit the growl, which just, like, sealed the deal. Because I actually couldn't do the growl. And it's hard. And it's just like, you couldn't do that every night for 10 days in a row. You just can't. But Blair can do it naturally.
My voice is trash, you know. We can
just we're going to just throw Blair's. Wait a minute. I think you actually do it correctly. I mean, we need to practice.
I just kind of make a really loud noise too close to the microphone.
Yeah,
that's all it is.
And it's this great growl.
Really looking forward to if you ever do an acoustic gig and you have to cover that song acoustic.
I love that idea. Why would I ever do an acoustic gig? Let's calm down. Like, no. Like, have you heard an electric guitar? Like, why would I ever play acoustic guitar?
I don't know. Maybe NPR Tiny Desk will be like,
Tiny Desk.
What?
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with me. I mean, like, it's like so campfire. Like, I just want to hit something.
Like some bongos.
Oh. You're just on a cajon?
No, oh, my God.
I would pay to see that.
You would pay to see that? We're in the wrong business.
Because, I mean, we might just go for you.
So. Right.
I did not pay.
The reverse of that question is, if you had to pick a bang song for Drowning Pool to cover, what song would you pick?
You did do your homework in advance. You think of these things. Okay.
Did you just think of that?
No way.
That might have been pre-planned.
I love it. The first one that I thought was Boyfriend. On the
Boyfriend. No, no.
I want to see them.
We don't want to give them that. We don't. I know.
They don't
like
deserve to cover.
Too much. I like that. I mean, I like all of our songs.
They're all bangs.
They cover Big Old Dicks. I think that'd be kind of funny because maybe they'd add some weird like. Late 90s,
not
early
to cover
2000s,
that song.
Growls.
Not allowed to cover it.
Oh, that's true.
Until they fully understand
well,
it and they write me a full written essay so they know that they're not.
But which one can they play?
Which one can they
According
play?
According to that.
Well, they have to play it in drop D, right? It's not the chord, the new metal chord.
I mean, you know, they'll figure it out. They'll figure it out. You can move shit around.
Well, okay,
they probably can't sing
they anything. Probably shouldn't play any of our songs.
They could be playing Boyfriend as, like, a supportive, like, friend.
Right. This is like
you know
a...
What I mean?
Are yeah.
they still touring? We're going to find out. We're looking
yeah, for Yeah, I'm going to this up right now.
And if they are, I'm submitting now that we should open for them. We have supported them selflessly for over a year at this point,
oh
so they owe us selflessly.
And we're gonna play their number one hit before they do on stage. That makes no sense.
That could make if you were asked to open for them on tour, or if they were asked to open for you on tour, reverse of that, would you still play the song?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
100%.
Well, evidently we've been told that we do it better.
I think we do. I mean.
Shots fired.
Shots fired. All right. I'm waiting for that diss track.
Who needs a bit? You don't need a bassist.
I'm ready for this to spawn like a whole diss track like scenario between us and.
Okay, so they're still an active band.
Could they have an Instagram? We've tagged their Insta before. Huh? Upcoming concerts one, Bridgewater, UK.
Oh, we're not going there.
With Soil.
Oh, should be
weird.
With Bangs. That's all I'm saying. We would have gone to the UK.
Yeah, same.
And also, recently, Trent Reznor inducted The Cure into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Hmm. So
I didn't know Trent was in charge of that. Trent, you gotta tell me next time.
Good job.
The sensitive goths have to stay together, I guess.
Yeah.
Who would you want to induct Bangs into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame if you ever got inducted in 25 years?
Her brain's like St. Vincent. But she's not in it yet, so Stevie Nicks.
Wait, any old person, do they have to play music?
Well, you know, it could be anybody.
All right. What do you think? I mean, I would want Jim Carrey. I feel like he'd give a good...
Jim
Carrey? I feel like we'd get a good, like, speech out of him.
Oh, that's funny.
I feel like it'd be good. Yeah. I feel like people would show up for that shit. You know, you gotta have a good opener. That's the trick.
Well, Jim Carrey is a big metal fan. Cannibal Corpse is in Ace Ventura Pet Detective because they were his favorite band.
Wow.
So
that's a great gig.
That's a great gig. I bet he could growl for us in the Drowning Pool cover that we inevitably do when we are inducted in the Hall of Fame for being better than Drowning Pool.
Oh my god.
All right, new enemy. Okay, we talked about enemies earlier. I'll name an enemy. I'll name an enemy. Johnny Cool.
Moving forward. Yeah, I'm down with that.
I'd like to play a cover song from our enemy, Johnny Cool.
It's like an Instagram war with Johnny Cool.
Yeah.
Have you done other cover songs besides Let the Bodies Hit the Floor?
Okay, well, we have done... Why are you looking at me like that? We've done Le Tigre. We've done... what the fuck is it called? Decepticon. But we've also done... Do you remember the other cover we've done? Remember the first cover we did where you sang?
Oh,
it was,
God.
We did... Okay, if you're a White Stripes fan... Are you a White Stripes fan?
I am.
Okay, Elephant?
Yeah.
Okay, the one song that Meg sings.
Oh, okay.
Cold Night. Yeah, we did that one where Blair got up on the microphone and, like, walked through the crowd during the Mike Wallace residency at the Cave.
No, it was the...
No? What the fuck was it?
No, you're right. No.
I was right.
No, it was the Cave,
What the fuck? No.
The staff appreciation party. I remember because I was all dressed up.
Oh, staff appreciation party. Wow. Life is just so rich. Blurs together.
It's a good cover.
I can't really sing, though. So
I saw you standing on the corner. On the edge of a budding night.
That one.
Well, would you ever do one of those Halloween parties where you cover like a famous band or the Kinks cover up?
Yeah.
My dream. Oh my God, I have a few dreams for the great cover up. It would be so fun.
This has been talked about.
Someone needs to do System of a Down.
Yeah.
Oh.
We've done that. Yeah. Question. Ooh, what question?
Any other ones besides System of a Down?
I mean,
I would watch a good Rage cover, I guess. Yeah. Rage Against the Machine. Why has anyone done that? Because it's pretty simple, and like maybe it's just like too obvious at this point. There's like
Blink 182 because they should put the drummer in the front of the stage. Whoever can do all that, and
probably you.
People would eat up whoever chose to sing like that. I mean,
I want
to
I would love to do something like super like poppy and girly though, like. Girly. I'm not saying that in any kind of way, but I did remember back in the day someone talked about doing Spice Girls, and I would totally be down for that. Mm. Maybe a full band Spice Girls. Something like that.
Oh! But it doesn't... whatever. I'm not gonna quibble on the interview. I'm a quibbler.
And has Bangs played outside of the North Carolina area at all?
We never left the farm. No.
never left the Shire.
The Shire is our home. We only tour here. No, we've been touring a lot. We're trying to tour. I'm trying to tour forever. All the time.
Eric's trying to tour forever. I'm always worried about money, and Eric has to break me out of my shell, and then I'm down once we do it.
Yeah.
But I'm like a little old lady about it in advance.
Right. So we did like a 10 days. We did like 10 days in February. We did like a short like weekender run kind of thing in March. That did like New York and Virginia and shit like that. But in February, we did, like, Florida and, like, all the way back and forth. It was the best. And every year, I'm like, we need to go tour Florida in February. Snowbird styly. It's the best.
I think we're trying to plan, for secretive reasons, a small tour around early November down south back to Florida.
Yes.
And
it's odd. I don't think Drowning Pool has any dates during that time.
No.
Announced like, either.
Secretive reason.
And then I want to do August. We'll see.
Yeah.
If you're ready by then.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, we're trying to tour all the time. Really. Tell your friends.
I'm the only thing holding us back right now. I'm on the teetering point of finding a career and quitting my jobs entirely and being homeless with my dog on the road. So we'll figure it out. It's, maybe there will be a middle ground.
But I have the new job, so it's hard to take off like 10 days in a row when you don't know.
And we
broke
all the time.
Yeah.
Well, I also wanted to ask you, I know that Danzig from the Misfits won't autograph bootlegs. So if someone had a Bangs bootleg, would you autograph it?
Is this your way of telling me you have a Bangs bootleg?
Where'd you get it?
I can't talk about that right now.
Is that what you were doing before and after our shows? Like, yeah.
Well, you got to hustle.
If someone
tapes
like...
of $6 inside, this is like three.
In the digital age, if somebody bootlegged their music off the internet... printed it onto a tape and brought it to my show, I would 1,000% autograph that. Are you fucking kidding me? Where you bootlegged it. Like, I mean, we're on Spotify and iTunes. They're pretty tough cookies to crack, so props to you if you do that. And then I don't know about Bandcamp. And then otherwise, we've like, emailed back and forth some, like, raw edits, so if you want to waste your time with that, yeah, I'll sign it. Yeah, I mean, mostly I respect your thriftiness, so yes. Fuck Danzig. Yeah. Danzig gets punched in the face all the time.
That's bliss. I like his voice.
Bangs has been on the radio a few times. Have you done some interviews on a few local stations.
We've done like KNC, you know, WKNC.
Cursed on WKNC.
And some podcasts and stuff like that. Durham local
Beat,
stations.
Best local, best local news source. Fuck the indie. Blair said it, not first, but Blair said it. Fuck the indie. They're fake. They got bought out by a non-local owner years ago. Why do we keep caring about them?
Oh, I didn't know that.
They don't represent Durham. They don't represent Durham. They represent the people's interests who work for them or whoever, like, else owns a business in town and matters. But, like, if you don't have money, you don't fucking matter to the indie. If you don't know the right people, you don't fucking matter to the indie. And people like Durham Beat don't think that. So I'm behind her. Places, people like Durham Beat that go out to your shows and will interview you on the spot because they care about you, because they like your show, of all genres, of all ethnicities, of all identifications, and you do not have to fucking know them. So that's who I want to support.
Yeah. I will say Durham Beat does a really good job of like, I think Durham Beat does a really good job of like really like getting out there and like, you know, covering many shows and stuff like that, and like the style is really cool. Like the whole Gonzo journalist thing is like, it's very real. I know that like for Manifest, their coverage of that, they did a poem for like one of the sets where like they had one of their writers write a poem for one of the noise sets, and it was like the most beautiful piece ever. And it's like, yeah, they're writing about this moment and they're covering Manifest, but it's also art in itself. And I was just like, I'm like, this is amazing. And I also think Mattia is like, who's the editor of the Durham Beat, is also like one of the healthiest creatives I know. She like carries a pencil that she's had with her for like years now and like a notebook. She always has it on her and she's just always flowing, like writing what's like coming through. And I think that's like super healthy. So I think it's really cool. And it's good to see people like really getting out there and supporting people that are the smaller rocks that maybe haven't been written about before.
They were our first interview as well, which is why I care so much. But not really. But like a big reason that they mean a lot.
So what are the future plans for Bangs?
So like we've been talking a lot about it, but like we're trying to like tour as much as we can on what we got, but we're like really focusing hard on trying to push out new material right now. And like something I realized, I like a lot of like us getting solid in the beginning and really learning our stuff was the fact that Eric and I are just really good friends. We get along really well and we'll just hang out for 5 or 6 hours on end and do whatever we want to do, hang out in between the fact that we're just playing music. And that's how we think of new ideas. It's like not we plan to think of new ideas. It's just we hang out, we play music together, and things come out. We get really excited off of each other. Ideas bounce off. And that's what, I mean, ideally, in my mind, that, like, we've talked about writing, and I think that's the sort of thing that's, like, coming up for us. It's just, like, a lot of, like, time together, a lot of writing. But also, like, we're staying active. It's the active time. I see shows coming up on both of our calendars, and I'm so fucking excited about them. And like the possibilities of like adding shows around them or seeing what we can do with that.
Yeah. Well, we just released the record like in January, so this is gonna be like a heavy touring year for sure. But like we're definitely like have some buns in the oven, some new songs.
Yeah, definitely.
And like our goal is to like play them, so we're playing them out like starting soon, so that we have them really well rehearsed before we go into recording. Because last time, maybe, I feel like, you know, we did more touring now than we did before we recorded the last record, you know, so I feel like now we're so much tighter, and I think that going into the second album, if we play it out a lot more, it's going to just be, like, that much better. So that's kind of the plan.
And you mentioned some streaming services. What's the best way to go online if you want to hear more of Bangs' music?
Spotify.
I'm an iTunes music user. They also pay you more royalties. Not that I'm saying you should go to the one that pays us more, I just don't use Spotify, but it's on both iTunes and Spotify.
Bandcamp.
And if you're a SoundCloud user, we also are on SoundCloud.
Yeah, although that's actually all of our old takes now.
Old takes.
You can hear like the old demos. You can actually hear this unreleased song by me and Blair that we made on our birthday.
When we were blackout.
Blackout in quotation marks for me, but like, yeah. But yeah, it's good. You should play that. Not right now, but yeah, it's a good one. It's great. It's a really long, like, digital track.
Well, thanks for talking to us today on Damage Goods Radio.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having us.
And you just heard a track from the new Bangs cassette. The tape is called Fresh Cut, and the song you heard was called Pretty is a Trap. And again, I want to thank the band Bangs for sitting down with me to chat recently. And also want to thank our producer, Emily Davidson, for helping with the interview. If you like what you heard, subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts. We're also on Google Play and Stitcher. You can also listen to the show on damagegoodsradio.com. You can like us on Facebook or Twitter and Instagram, and that'll keep you updated on new episodes of the show we're planning. Thanks for listening.